You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you guys and gals here today. Happy Friday. Thank God it is Friday. With 4th of July here coming up tomorrow, heading into the weekend. I'm so grateful. So grateful to God that all you have taken 30 minutes now to hear some words from God, hence the name of this program, WGOD. God is always broadcasting. All we need to do is tune into his frequency. That's what we're going to do here today. We're back in the book of Revelation here today, and we're up to the third church of the seven that the Lord Jesus dictated a letter to. I believe the pastor, though the translations say angel, but this Greek word angelos means more than just an angel, a created being. The word also means a messenger. I think the spiritual leader of these churches. I don't believe that the Lord dictated a letter to go to take to someone invisible that you can't see. And also that man would not go and admonish an angel. These letters are to the spiritual. They're warnings from him. Do this or else. And I commend you for doing this. So that's where we're at. We are up to the compromising church of Pergamos, where he says, I know your works, and I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and you have not denied my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I've got a few things against you, because you have there those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those there that hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So he's gone from commending the Ephesians for hating it. Now, when we get to the third church, now he's coming down on them for agreeing with this doctrine. So that's where we're at here today. This will wrap up on Monday. I invite you guys to church this weekend. We're in Acts chapter 16. We're going to look at Paul and Silas thrown into jail, ultimately for telling people that God loves them. We're also going to run into a demon, a woman with a spirit of Python. And this demon is going to tell people to follow the Apostle Paul, that they're telling us how to be saved. Interesting. Why in the world would a demon tell anyone to listen to Paul? Because they're offering to us the words of salvation. That's where we're going to be. We're going to, I believe, come to the answer of why this demon would do that. And we're going to look to Paul and Silas are in prison. It says the prisoners are watching them. And the prisoners out here today, friends, they're watching you as well to see if you're going to respond any different to personal tribulation and persecution that comes your way. The prisoners are watching you today as we head into this weekend. Okay, let's get into the word now. We're in Revelation chapter 2. We're looking at the persecuted church of Pergamos. We left off here. Jesus' letter to the pastor at Pergamos is where we're at. We're in Revelation chapter 2. We're going to pray first before we get started. Lord, we exalt you here today. Thank you for all the people you've sent here today.
Lord, I just exalt you. I praise you today. Thank you for all these faithful people that have come here, not to hear from me, but because they're starving for your word, want to hear a word from you. I pray I don't disappoint. I know you won't. I pray you bless this message here today as it is and focused on your word. Speak to this church as you have to me during the week. Speak to those that are watching now or going to watch later. Speak to those that are going to be listening in on the radio later. Do a great work in all of us. We sit under the authority of your word. We are yours. We pray, Lord, move in us. Move us. Shake us. We praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, we left off at chapter 2. And the Lord's letter to the persecuted church at Smyrna. So again, let me reiterate here. All seven of these churches represent seven types of churches found in every age. That's why the Lord said last week to one pastor, the pastor of the church at Smyrna, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. He's just written to one, but he's talking to everyone. These apply to all of us. So today, if a Christ follower from Iran or China or the Middle East somewhere reads through the book of Revelation, perhaps the Lord's letter to Smyrna would have really hit home for them. Imagine sitting there in Iran and reading, indeed, Satan is about to throw some of you into prison, and you will be tested for 10 days. Okay, now the number 10 in the Bible is the number of testing. You'll notice that little bunny trail if you choose to go on that in the handout. Genesis, Daniel, Acts 25. You'll see them if you want to follow that number. 10 is the number of testing. Now remember, once again, understand the symbols, you'll understand the book. Now, as for us here at Island, I will blow our own horn and say that we are members of the faithful church. I would die 1,000 deaths before we lost that 5-star rating from the Son of God. Boy, I like that. A 5-star church in the Lord Jesus' church guide. 5 stars, Island Community Church. Amen. We're not giving up those 5 stars. You can bet your sweet bippy on that. 4 is not going to cut it. This is a 5-star church. And if I'm dead and gone, he'll see to it. We sit under the word of God. We let him speak to us through his word. And we do what he says. That's why there's life in here. That's why people get healed when they come in here. Because the Lord's moving in this church. This is what a faithful church looks like. We're going to get to that when we get to the church in Cheryl's hometown, Philadelphia. That's the faithful church. That's got a blank check from the Son of God. Next up here this week is the compromising church. Verse 12, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. Now to the pastor of the church at Pergamos, write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. Okay, why the sharp sword? Answer, to slay unbelievers. Sorry. No more baby Jesus. Not this time when he returns. No more blasphemy. No more slanderous words, no more flogging, no more pulling out his beard, no more despicable hatred toward his name, and no more crucifying him. Not again. Not again. Now is not the time for salvation. Now is the time and the day for vengeance here. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Let me read this to you. Paul said, "For it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who don't know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Wow. Now, maybe you think that's a little harsh. Let's keep reading. "These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So thus says the Son of God, who has the sharp double-edged sword." We read, inflaming fire, inflicting vengeance on, number one, those who don't know God. What have we been saying every week? Even so. Amen. Even so. It is what it is. You can't change it. Even so, right? He's coming. Every eye will see him, and everyone's going to mourn when he comes back and wail. Even so. Amen. It is what it is. There's no changing it now. Even so. Amen. And he said he's going to take vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel. So what does his sword look like? Let me read it to you. You guys can turn here with me if you want. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Remember, we're following this attribute. Every one of these letters, he starts with an attribute, something about himself, before he goes on to commending the pastor for what he's doing right and showing him what he's doing wrong. Then he gives him a threat and says, do this right or else. So, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. The Apostle John writes, he says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, the Logos to Theou. The armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." Now, verse 15, "out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, so that with it he should strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads on the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Hallelujah. So the sword is, it's his tongue. It's his words. The sword is his speech, which proclaims, "Peace, be still. Little girl, arise." Which shouts, "Lazarus, come forth." Which says to a tree, "May no fruit ever grow on you ever again." And here, drop dead. Drop dead. But never fear, he's not talking to you. He's just talking to everyone that doesn't obey the gospel. He's just talking to everyone who doesn't know God. Even so, amen. Even so, amen. But don't come down too hard on him. He shouts from a rooftop every day. He's shouting on a rooftop. His offer of salvation is on display every day. The Lord says, "All day long I reach out my arms to a disobedient and obstinate people." It's on display every day. The Bible says, "We then, as workers together with him, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So don't come down too hard on him. He's standing here today with outstretched arms. All you got to do is receive him. And this, Hebrews 3:7, starts with the word today. Sounds like Abbott and Costello's pitcher. And tomorrow's catching. Today. What day? Today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the days of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and they tried me. They saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath they would not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. So again, don't call them too harsh. All day long I've stretched out my arms, he says. And the time is coming, and I believe it's coming soon, that this day and this age of grace that we're living in is going to be completed. At that point, everything changes. At that point, everything has changed. They asked the Lord Jesus one day, they said, Lord, are there just a few people that are going to be saved? And he replied, now notice he doesn't say yes, and notice he doesn't say no. His answer is, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at that door, saying, Lord, open up, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. So you got to respond today while it's still today. And then he won't say those fateful words to you that I never knew you. This is your chance to know God today. Amen. And Paul says, not that you know God, but now that you are known of God, respond today in faith. You don't need to burn a calorie to have your name written in the book of life. You respond by faith. Church, hear me this morning. I believe Jesus is standing at the doors. Every prophecy to date in this book has been fulfilled without fail. And there's no reason to believe that all the others will fail. Matter of fact, I get up here and I promise to you that they won't fail. Every jot and tittle, everything written in this book is going to be fulfilled. And you'll know that the time is close when there is a one world power that has the authority to tell you what to do. Wow, that just makes the hair stand up on your arms right now, doesn't it? Like these fools at this World Health Organization, the WHO. I think the WHO is better than that WHO. The other day, I saw this ignorant, smiling woman passing her hand with a chip embedded over it, over a checkout scanner in order to buy or sell, smiling, ignorant as the day is long. All right, now let's read this pastor's mail. He started with an attribute of himself, as he always does. Now for the compliment, verse 13. Let's start this sermon. I know your works. I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name. And you did not deny my faith, even in the days of which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. All right, again, same as last week. He proclaims that he knows everyone's works, including yours. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 6:10. It's also, it's on the handout if you want to look at it later. It says, for God is not unjust to forget your work. Let's say that again. God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So your work and what you do in the name of Jesus should be to the saints. That is, to those who are of the church of Jesus Christ. When the apostle Paul instructed the church to pass around the offering plate on the first day of the week, it was used to be a blessing to poor Christians who were struggling. Leave the almsgiving to atheist countries and other religions. Leave that up to UNICEF. You guys, us here, us Christians, are to take care of the saints. Those that are persecuted because they're Christian. God will not forget the works that you do and your labor of love that you do for the needy in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, here's a verse you don't hear quoted too often. It's 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So God will not forget the work that you do and your labor of drudgery. Don't waste your time if that's what it is to you. God will not forget the work you do in your labor of love. Like all the things that you love to do for yourself, for your own personal joy and contentment. May your works for him likewise be a labor of love, like your works for you. Like Larry Lamb said in here 2 weeks ago, you don't have to volunteer at the food pantry. You get to volunteer at the food pantry. You don't have to go to Publix on Friday night or Saturday morning to pick up a loaf of bread to provide for someone who doesn't have. You get to go to Publix on a Friday night or a Saturday morning to pick up a loaf of bread. You get to be a blessing to God's people. If not, he'll go to the next name on his Rolodex. No sweat off of him. He'll go to the next name if that's drudgery to you and not a labor of love. Now let's have another look at the Lord's commendation to this pastor. Verse 13, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith. Even in the days in which Antipas, I guess that means he hated pasta, right? Antipas. Actually, the word pas means all. So I guess you could say the guy hated everything. I'll tell you what he did. He hated all evil. That's why they burned him alive in a bronze kettle. That's how this man died. Making a little bit too much noise over all the sin that was going on in the community. In the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr. Greek word for martyr is the same as the word for witness. Martus, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. Now Jesus has said it twice. Jesus twice has told these guys, Satan pitches his tent in this town. All right, actually there's a few good things going on here. He acknowledges that Pergamos was a tough place to live. Naturally, being only 20 miles from Smyrna, here in Pergamos, they worshiped the same false gods as they did there in Smyrna. Also, Pergamos was known for their famous university. I guess we could call it Pergamos U or PU. Actually, I heard that they were in the Big Ten. I can see the sweatshirt now. I go to PU. Things sure did stink around there anyway. With a bunch of false gods and idols every which way that you turn, as well as the devil hanging his hat there. Must have smelled like the Banana River in this town. All right, now here comes the Lord's correction. All right, first, he commended them for holding fast or standing firm in the name of Jesus. That is, not giving up when times are tough in the midst of persecution. He also commended them for not denying his faith. Notice, he didn't say not denying their faith, but not denying his faith. You see, not to sound like a broken record around here, but there's plenty of new folks around here that maybe have not heard this before. And that is, you see, your faith, the faith that you possess, is not your own. It belongs to him. He has given it to you. Now, it has been imparted to you as a gift. I don't have it on the handout, but here's a great verse you could write on it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, comma, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast about it." Your faith has been imparted to you. It's a gift from God. Not everyone. Have you noticed that not everyone has it? Have you noticed the 6 billion unbelievers in the world that hate you? Not everyone has. Even Paul says, "Pray for me," because there's a lot of evil people out here and they don't have faith. But you've got it. That should make you want to shout for joy. You've got faith. The Lord's not going to slay you with his tongue when he comes back. The other way around, you're going to be riding with him on your own white horse. That is good news. Finally, I'll be able to ride a horse. My own Western saddle. Tie a little rope on there, little spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle. You believe in God because you have help. No one understands. It's not you. You haven't decided you're going to quit running and that it's quaint and it's time for you to believe in Jesus. You've had help. Amen. Here are the verses to prove that. I gave you Ephesians 2:8, Philippians 1:29. I'm going to read these out of the King James Version. They're one of the only ones that have it right. Philippians 1:29, "To you it's been granted." To you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. It has been granted. The Greek word charis, where the word charismatic, it means gift. It's been gifted to you. The ability for you to call on the name of the Lord and bow the knee to him and call him Lord. He has enabled that in you. Also, Galatians 2:16, knowing that, he's talking to Peter here when he wrote this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, meaning you're not made right with God by keeping rules. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not your faith, it's his.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Thank you.